All right, good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for that. How good it is to be in the house of God. Take your Bible to the book of Isaiah. I want to say thank you while you turn to Isaiah 66. I want to say thank you for praying for my wife and I on a regular and a daily basis. And because a couple of days ago, we was in town. Was it a couple of days or yesterday? Friday. You know how traffic was. Just zip, zap, zap. And we went down there and ate. At a place at the smokehouse, and then we came back up and going down North Street, going south. Man, traffic every way you can look at it. People zipping and zapping. I pulled up there at that red light to turn left, and some lady was, go ahead, she's going to let me know, go ahead on. And I punched it to be able to go ahead across there, and there was a pickup coming. I mean, like he was just out of the starting gate, and by the grace of God, that we're still here. I mean, he was moving bad, fast, and all that. It had been my fault. But, you know, I'm thinking, while she's telling me, go ahead, I'm going to let you go, I'm thinking that, hey, the light's turned. I can't see it now anyway and all that. And so as soon as he got by, I punched it and burnt rubber all the way across there and all that business there. But let me tell you right now, that was as close a call as we've had in a long time. And I bless the Lord for still being here. Now, mind you, we could have went to heaven, and it would have been hard enough to either put us in the hospital or heaven won. And I'm ready to go to heaven. But I don't want to go in a car wreck if I can help it. So thank you for the all in time. Let me tell you, I just believe God whenever he promises and says, call unto me and I'll answer thee, show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. All right, in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 66, you find the place you're able to stand. We're going to be looking there in verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where's the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox as if he had slew a man, and he that sacrificeth a lamb as if he had cut off a dog's neck, and he that offereth an oblation as if he had offered swine's blood, and he that burneth incense as if he had blessed an idol, and yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. And when I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighteth not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you and cast you out for my saying, said, you go out for my name's sake and said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear unto your joy and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, and a voice from the Lord hath rendered recompense unto his enemies. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. There's no telling how many near misses there would have been this week just among this crowd had it not been for the grace of God and the mercy of God that's been bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us even while we've been unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on God's looking for somebody that trembles at his word. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that here in the millennial time, and that's going to be down the road, if you will, please, the Lord Jesus Christ will return to this earth, and if you're saved, you're going to go to be with him, and if you're not, you're going to be without him. But let me say to you is that you'll find that you're either a believer or you're an unbeliever, one or the other. All the times that you've been listening to the word of the Lord and God's been tugging at your heart and you almost took a step toward God and the word of the Lord, but you decided to wait till later. It's going to catch you one day. in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that God is trying to show us is that during the tribulation period, and by the way, we'll be gone by then, but it'll be awfully rough sailing, no doubt, until then. Look how bad it is right now. Fact is, the Bible said Jesus asked the question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? You know, it's hard to find a young man that believes God, that believes the Bible. Well, I know a few of them. They're right here this morning. It's hard to find a young lady that believes God, that believes the Bible, that lets God, the Holy Ghost, do something real in their heart when the preaching's going on. You know, it's always good whenever you've heard the word of the Lord. Sometimes you may go to your house, and it may be a day or two before God begins to work in your soul. And it might be that God just troubles you and won't let you get by with it. I got to say to you that, if you will, that's a good thing, especially when you bow your head and your heart in prayer unto God and receive Him in the free pardon of sin. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out there's at least two groups of Jews that'll be in the tribulation period, those that believe God and those that don't. Now, in the lesson we're looking at, you'll find that God points out that He's created everything. Did you notice that in verse number 1 and verse number 2? God created all things and all people and all whatever there is, sacrifices and worship, and He's created all of that. In fact, is you're going to find out that God is looking for a believer that believes the word of the Lord and that trembles at the word of the Lord and that responds unto the word. That's what God's looking for. Now, man's looking for a building or a builder. God's looking for a believer. See the difference? In the lesson that we're looking at, I wonder what you'd think about in America if you were to just look around. Now, I'm not against a nice big building. I'm not against that. If somebody were to walk in that had a lot of money and had $1 million, and they said, hey, man, we want to build you a new building, I'd hug their neck, line them up, and let you hug them. But that's not the most important thing that there is. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross and bowed His head and gave up the ghost and said, it's finished, I'll tell you what He was interested in. He was not interested in a building. He was interested in a believer. Now, you know, we've got some folks that are here that are believers. You've been a believer a long time. We could probably have a testimonial service and finish out all the rest of the morning about people giving a testimony about whenever they got saved by the grace of God. Here they were. God disturbed them by the preaching. God knocked on their heart's door. God finally opened up their heart. And they retrusted in the Lord and repented toward God. And by faith, they received the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day that was and is. You're here this morning, you say, I'd like that to happen to me. It can, it will. If you tremble at the word of the Lord and believe what God said in the Bible concerning that. You know, as we think about it, there's a lot of people, you know, the Bible said, I'm looking for somebody that's got a poor and a contrite spirit, somebody that trembles at my word. I want to say to you that as we ask the question, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And if you honestly in your heart, you're thinking, man, I don't know. I want to say yes, but I don't really know for sure. Then be honest about the thing and tell God you don't know for sure, but you want to. You see, when a person repents toward God by faith, believes the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes him want to come and confess it before men and let people know, hey, I want you to know that I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but thank God I can see now. I've been washed by the blood and born into the family of God. God created all things. He created all men. So He's asking these people here that are trying to be glad about what they've done in the physical sense and trying to say, what kind of house could you build me? Well, heaven's my throne. Earth's my footstool. You're not going to be able to contain God there. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that you'll find that we're living in a day and an hour when the average Baptist, somehow or another, they're trying to hide in a dead Baptist church somewhere. And by that, I'm talking about, you know, they'd like to be able to get lost. I got a friend of mine, And I guess he's a friend. I hadn't heard from him in years and all that, but every now and again we'll cross paths. But I've got a friend of mine, and he said, you know, he said, I've started going to one of them big Baptist churches. I don't think I could go to another little church anymore. You know why? He's hiding. You're not fooling me. You're hiding. You're in a place where nobody knows anybody and where there's a few people that know one another, but you're trying to hide and run from God. I can promise you right now, it wouldn't do for him to be hearing this, because if I go to preaching, he'll think that I'm trying to gouge him for his past life. See? Listen, I want to tell you right now, I don't care where you've been, what you've done, how far down in the gutter you've been, God's hand can reach farther down than you'll ever be able to reach up. And by the way, that if you've you've bowed your head and your heart and you've repented toward God, and by faith you believe in the Lord with all of your heart, he not only forgave you, he's forgotten it. Now, here's what you're going to have to realize and know. Unless you're back involved in all that again, you ain't got to worry about that no more. God has taken your sins, and as far as the east is from the west. See? You're going to find out that whenever you begin to look into it, the Bible asks the question over there in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, and about verse 24, can any hide himself? Can anybody hide himself, you know? He said, do not I feel heaven? Do not I feel the earth? Listen, if you're going to go and try to hide yourself, where in the name of God could you hide to get away from God? If you go out in the ocean, out in the sea, he's already there. If you descended into hell, he's already been there. He's already there. If you tried to get to heaven on your own, you're not going. Listen, you're not going to get away from God. The best thing for you to do is whenever God comes knocking on your heart's door is open up and receive him in the free pardon of sin. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, God's looking for somebody somewhere that'll tremble at the word of the Lord. There's a Psalm, chapter 139, that if I can find it, and I remember it right, but look in Psalms 139. There's a passage over there that we ought to look at, and it's in about verse number 7 and 8 that we're going to be looking. In Psalm, chapter number 139, verse 7 and 8, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. Listen, it don't matter if it's day or night. God sees you exactly the way that you are, and I'm glad that he does. And I want to tell you right now is we live in a world that wants to feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. Our text verse there in verse number 3, he said, those that like killeth an ox, as if he slew a man, sacrifices a lamb and so forth and on. As if you'd cut off a dog's leg. In other words, there was no reverence. There was no plan to follow whatever God had already given. And I want to tell you something. You're going to find out we live in a world that somehow or another they've not chosen the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, than that name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what they're doing, don't you? Knock on sometime if you're talking to somebody and you've knocked on their door. Hey, I just wanted to ask you, if you died today, would you know if you'd go to heaven or not? Well, I go to church. See, that's not the way. I've been baptized. That's great. That's not the way. If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Let me tell you, you can't invent another way than the name that's above every name. And that's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had a man walk up, black man, by the way. And I don't know where he was from and all that business there. I seen him when he buttonholed a couple of people over in McDonald's. We were at McDonald's. Don't hold that against me. I told you I liked their breakfast. And the wife and I, and of course, as a result, he began to ask me about how I was doing and so forth and on and all that and how my week was. And anyhow, another, somehow another, he come up and wanted to know I said, how are you doing? He said, oh, I'm doing great and all this and there. How are you doing? I said, I'm doing great. I was just sitting here thinking about how good it is to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Oh, really? And how do you know that? That's what he asked. And so it opened up a door. And I began to speak to him, and he said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. And let me tell you right now is that he cut his conversation a little short and decided, you know, that's going to be enough of that. But you never know when God's going to open up the door for somebody. Let me tell you, I'm not talking about religion, and I'm not talking about Baptist churches, and I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about a name that's above every name, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him like that? As we get ready to go down to this and look real quickly, and as we begin to hasten along, the Bible said there's people that all the time, they're irreverent toward God. As a result of that, they want to try to find some other loophole or out or so forth and on. But I want you to notice that in verse 4 of our text, God said they've been deluded, and I'm going to choose their own delusion for them. And whenever I choose it for them, they're not going to be able to respond in the right sense. And the reason being, because in Isaiah 65 and in verse number 12, he said, therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. And when I spake, you did not hear. But you did evil before mine eyes, and you did choose that wherein I delighted not. Do you realize, though, that if you look into the book of Isaiah in chapter number 65, he talks about because of the grace of God and the power of God and the will of God, he's able to run through a truth. That's in verse 11 of Isaiah 65. And you know what that is whenever he's there in that chapter, in that verse that's there? I can tell you exactly what it is that's the Antichrist and those that he's leading during that time that they're breathing an onslaught against the Israelite. And therefore, he said, will I number you to the sword? And you know what that number is, don't you? 666, according to Revelation chapter number 13, about verse number 8. But let me tell you right now is that Bible said that during the millennial reign that they're going to be able to go forth from one new moon to the other, and they're going to be able to look and see those souls that chose another way, that God finally sent them a strong delusion. They should believe a lie and to be damned because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And when God does that, I got to tell you, is that you're going to find out that in chapter number 66 and verse number 4, that's what it's now here. You've ignored God. You've ignored the word of God. Now God's going to send strong delusion so that you cannot believe God nor the love of the truth. I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that God's coming in verse number 5 of our text. He said, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. He's going to be able to come and correct the matter. You know, when God comes, he's coming in flame and fire and taking vengeance upon them that know not God, that have obeyed not the gospel, that know not God. And as a result of that, what God is going to do is, you said no so long, no so long, no so long. God's going to fix it. Well, that's all you can do is say no. I don't know about you, but in the lesson that we're looking at, is that God's going to render a recompense in verse 6 of our text. He's going to render a recompense. His voice is going to be the voice of vengeance. God's going to come, make all things new and everything right. Now, I want to tell you something. Here's what he said in verse 10 of our text. He said, rejoice with ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. And all ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, and all ye that mourn for her. Now, I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it. Verse 15, for behold, the Lord cometh with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger and fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by a sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Now, I can tell you right now, I'm glad that if you're here this morning, you're saved by the grace of God, you won't be one of the slain that's many that's laying there. If you're a child of God, and if you're not, you ought to be. You've heard enough preaching to save the world many times over. Make no mistake about it, when God comes knocking on your heart's door, you ought to open up to him and receive him in the free pardon of sin. And then you ought to come down this aisle and you ought to say, "Preacher, I'm ready to let it be known that I'm a child of the King." That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. This Bible said that here in the book of Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 20, he said there, "And they shall bring all of their brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of the nations, and upon horses and upon chariots and upon litters and upon mules and swift beasts. And so by holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord." Now I want to tell you something. I know this is in the millennial, because they go forth and look upon the carcasses of those that have said no to God, that have died without hope and without the Lord. But you and I know that that can't be during eternity, because in Isaiah it already mentions us that, "Behold, I build a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things will be forgotten." But here you'll find they're able to look upon carcasses of those that said no to God. Now during the millennial, the 1,000-year reign, there'll be no more infant of days. If a person that lives and that is born, they'll live at least 100 years, and they'll have an opportunity to be saved during that time in those millennial births. I tell you what I do every now and again. I look on TV, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to watch TV round the clock. I practice saying that just because of the fact that it upsets a lot of preachers. Try to practice that every now and again if you can. But as a result of that, let me tell you what ends up happening. As you'll find out, is that while you're thinking on that subject there, is that God is going to bring His people, Israel, out of all the nations and out of all the walks of life and present them as an offering here before the Lord. And I want to tell you something, is that look in verse 24. "They shall go forth, and they shall look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, and neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh." Now, that's a sad end, is it not? But chapter number 9 in the book of Mark, you need to turn there. That's where we're going to wind up and be done. In the book of Mark, in chapter number 9, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. And the reason being, we just read it out of the book of Isaiah. And it's the most quoted verse the Lord Jesus Christ has given in the New Testament in the book of Mark, St. Mark chapter number 9, verse 44. Here's what he says. And he says, "Where their worm never died." Well, let's back up to verse 42. "And whosoever shall be offended one of these little ones that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life a halt than to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and their fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." I want to say to you that, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he quoted that. And over there in the book of Isaiah, when we just got through reading about it, that Bible said, "And they shall go forth, and they shall look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me, for their worm dieth not." There it is. "Neither shall the fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrent to all flesh." Now, I want to tell you, from the New Testament to the Old Testament, there's only one way to be saved. Never has been but one way. Always will be but one way to be saved, and that's trusting in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say to you that if you're here this morning, you're not saved, it'd be a good time, if God's knocking on your heart's door, for you to slip out and slip down to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to do business with you and to save your soul from a devil's hell. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl that understand their need for Christ ought to come. will come. I wonder, as we bow our heads, our musicians are coming as they get ready to play the instruments, and we're getting ready to be able to sing a verse of invitation. Whatever the need is, you ought to be able to come, and you ought to be able to thank God in what God's doing. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word and these that have gathered here this morning. There may be somebody that is not yet saved by the grace of God. I'm hoping and trusting that you'll knock upon their heart's door, that you'll show them their need like Jesus presents it. And dear God, that you'd snatch them as a brand from the burning. We'll thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?